Welcome, everyone, to another edition of Community in Depth. That theme music means that our friend Aaron Wickwalt is here. He is the supervisor of rehab at Courage Kenny Hastings, and he has brought along with him today intern Caitlin Byerly. First of all, congrats to you, Caitlin. I understand that you are in college, finishing up soon to become a physical therapist.
Yes. I am graduating in December from St. Ambrose University in Davenport, Iowa.
Well, congrats. How did you get this position in Hastings?
We fill out a list of sites that we might be interested in going, and then it's kind of a luck of the draw of where you end up. So luckily, I have family that lives in Hudson, so I was able to stay with them, and then I make the commute every day.
So how did you get interested in physical therapy?
Yeah, I was a patient for a very, very long time, starting as a young kid. So,
did you have an injury?
Yes, I had a tumor actually in my collarbone, and it spiraled into a lot of different things. So, I had therapy for a really, really long time.
And did you have to have the tumor removed, and
yes,
then your shoulder kind of needed rehab again then?
Absolutely, yep.
Okay, well,
yep.
You look great. I hope you're feeling well now.
I am, thank you, yeah.
Oh, what a blessing. That must have been a very scary time.
It was a lot at the time. I mean, I was in fifth grade, so I didn't really quite understand what was going on at that age. But knowing what I know now after the schooling that I've been through, I now know how much I actually did go through.
And how much your parents probably went through.
Yes, absolutely. Bless their hearts. They took me to therapy after work, before work. I live in a small town where I grew up, so going to the doctor and stuff was a big ordeal because we had to drive to Rockford, Illinois. So it was a 45-minute drive to go to therapy, and we did that 3 times a week, every week.
Well, yeah. And they would do it all over again.
Absolutely.
Yes.
Yeah, in a heartbeat. Absolutely.
Well, isn't that interesting, though, how that really piqued your interest? Did you think, oh, that's a career I might want to pursue? Or did you hold your therapist in high regard that they were able to help you? Or what were...
All the therapists that I've had have been phenomenal. And when I went into undergrad, I had no idea what I wanted to do. I actually went in undecided. But then all the classes that I was interested in taking pointed me to physical therapy. And once I finally was like, yeah, this is actually what I want to do, it was just like light bulb moment. But going in, I was like, I have no idea. We're just going to...
Caitlin, that is so cool that you found your niche.
Thank you.
But certainly that's not something that just anybody can do. You have to excel in the sciences, I would assume.
Yeah, absolutely. A lot of hard work.
How long is the program?
So it's 4 years to get your bachelor's, and then it's either 2.5 to 3 year program for your doctorate of physical therapy. So my program's 2.5. It's a little bit accelerated, and that's how I'm graduating in December. So,
well, I'm very surprised always when I talk to Aaron of how much a physical therapist needs to know about the body. It just the complexity of how we work and don't work, and that's why you can help us.
Yeah.
I bet you're really excited to get the show on the road here.
Absolutely. I sure am. It's been a long haul, and I'm ready to get out there for sure.
Is this your first real-world experience internship?
No, this is my second one, and then I have one more after this.
Oh, gosh, wonderful.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And what have you learned so far?
What haven't I learned? I feel like
I bet.
Every day
you're learning from the best, I got to tell you.
He's been awesome.
He is awesome.
Yeah, all the therapists at Courage Kenny are amazing, and I'm learning from all of them every single day. It's been a blessing, honestly, to be here in Minnesota for 8 weeks.
Now, as an intern, will you say, gosh, I want to specialize in this or this or this? Or is that somewhere down the line you might decide to do that?
I think more down the line, I think starting out, it's good to have such a wide scope and to see a lot of different things. I think that that can really help develop you as a therapist, and seeing pattern recognition and just being able to pull different ideas and treatments from different people that you've seen. So I think just being good at a lot of different diagnoses and just exposure is key as a new grad, and then finding kind of, oh, do I really like vestibular, or oh, do I really like dry needling, or that kind of thing.
These are words I know Aaron has told me about, but I can't remember what they mean. But I'm so excited for you as you start this new journey. It's going to be a great field. We're all aging and we all need help, don't we, Aaron?
Yeah, there's a lot of job security, that's for sure. And I think, we're just happy that we're in a field where we get to see people get better. I think that's the best thing.
So what is our topic today that we are going to talk about?
So today, Caitlin decided that we should talk about knees.
Caitlin, tell me why.
a lot of people have knee surgeries and know a lot about the knees, and just that, you know, we're walking all day long, we get knee pain. Where's that knee pain coming from? You know, my sister tore her ACL when she was younger.
Sports.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Sports, soccer, of course. So I'm kind of familiar with that aspect of that rehab, and then learning in school total knees, and I've been seeing a lot of total knees in the clinic. So yeah, knees.
Erin, I know you're a big sports proponent, but what the heck, I do feel like kids these days are having these major injuries much more so than certainly when I was a kid. Is that a fair assessment, or is that just my imagination?
I think there's probably more participation in youth sports, and so there potentially might be more of an increase in ACL tears. However, I don't know if the rate is going up proportionally. So yeah, we do see a lot of ACL tears. I do specialize in sports rehab, and so at the clinic, I typically am taking people through the last stages of rehab for their ACL recovery, which I enjoy, but I'm not sure exactly if the rate of ACL tears are going up. There's kind of a debate, what's the biggest cause of why an athlete is going to sustain an ACL tear?
Can you break it down? What does that acronym stand for?
Yeah, so that's the anterior cruciate ligament. So that's
testing him. What did you think about that?
I know, putting me on the spot. So that's the ligament that controls your knee while you're twisting, and if you're making a cut on the field or on the court or any time in life, because this can happen at any stage of your life.
So our knee really is only meant to bend one way, right?
Well, we do have a little bit of rotation in our knee, but most of it is what you consider like a hinge joint. It's going to bend and it's going to extend.
Okay.
But there is some rotation, and especially when you are cutting, that's typically when an ACL injury is going to happen. That's when you do have to have enough muscle strength to control the knee. Otherwise, that ACL is really the only thing that's controlling that rotation of the knee.
So is that called when your knee pops out, or is that something else?
Yeah, usually the athlete will hear a pop. So they'll hear a pop typically when that happens.
Yuck.
And very common for it to be a non-contact injury where you're pivoting on that leg, typically towards the end of the game when the athlete's fatigued and tired, and those muscles are just not able to control that deceleration force. So they're usually cutting and trying to pivot and go a different direction.
So that's why soccer is one of the highest sport or injuries in sports.
Yep,
for that. Okay.
Absolutely.
What's another one? Basketball?
Basketball's big. I mean, football's big. Football mm-hmm. can be contact or non-contact. Any type of sport where you're having a lot of jumping, changing directions, and pivoting is going to be a high incidence of ACL tears.
And is there something that you could do to be sure that doesn't happen?
Absolutely.
Okay, tell us.
This is one of my favorite things to do with athletes is think about that reduction of risk of injury. So really, a lot of injuries from the knee come from the hips. So for weak in our core. So hips, core, same thing in my book. So your core has to be strong, your abdominals have to be strong, your hips have to be strong. If those muscles are not really doing what they're supposed to do, that puts our knee in a bad position. This is really not just ACL problems, but this can be other problems of your knee where you have pain in maybe the back of the knee or in the front of the knee by like the kneecap. So when an athlete comes to me, I'm looking at how they're squatting, how they're jumping. And if I see certain things, like if their knees come in and touch each other when they're jumping, that's a big red flag. And that's something that we'd work on. So we'd first work on strengthening and getting the muscles around it strong, mostly at the hip, actually. And then also retraining their brain, because that motor plan that they have just is kind of what your brain tells your body to do, has probably been reinforced for probably years. And so it takes a while to retrain the brain to be able to do a squat the proper way, and then do a jump squat the proper way, and then do cutting activity, like a single leg activity where you're jumping off of one foot or pivoting off of one foot the proper way. So it's quite a process to first strengthen up the mm-hmm. muscles and then take that to the athletic field.
It almost sounds impossible.
No, not impossible, but it's tough. I always tell patients forming a good habit is 21 days, but breaking a bad habit, I'm not sure exactly how long that's going to take. So trying to set that expectation for the patient, hey, be patient. It's going to come, but we have to be patient and just make sure that we're just continuing to put the work in, and it does come along.
When you say that a lot of our knee injuries are because we have trouble with our hips, why do our hips and our knees wear out more than anything else?
There's a couple different reasons. Once you start getting into your 50s, 60s, 70s, that's when we start talking about kind of that higher incidence of osteoarthritis. So everybody knows that.
Yeah. Is it arthritis driven, or is it because we were hard on them when we were younger? They just kind of wore out.
Yeah, there could be a couple different things. So some people are, unfortunately, they just have a higher incidence of those joints wearing out.
So they have a shelf life.
Yes. For some people, yes, there's just a higher incidence of that wearing out in some people versus other people.
Okay.
The second cause is typically it's trauma earlier in life. So we know that through studies, the greatest indicator of a re-injury is if you had an injury in the past, unfortunately. So if somebody tears their ACL at 17 years old, and then let's say they tear their meniscus, which is just like the padding in between the knees, again at 35, they're probably going to need a total knee sometime in the future in their life, and probably earlier than what they would have needed a total knee if they wouldn't have had those injuries. Because you start to break down that padding that's in between your knees, between the bones.
Is that the cartilage or whatever?
Yes. So there's two things that are really the buffers. The cartilage, and that's a slippery, really, really slippery surface that's in between the two bones. Once that wears out, it's gone.
Is that why your knee clicks or whatever?
It can be. Absolutely. Yeah, there can be loose cartilage, or the meniscus is the other thing that it's between the two bones that is like that padding. So those two things, when they wear out and they're gone, they can sometimes click and they can sometimes be painful. And then once they're gone, then it can lead to that bone on bone. You can think of the bones rubbing against each other, causing that arthritis, causing that pain and that inflammation. You know, people will typically, they'll get to that stage and they'll say, okay, well, I want to try to avoid having a total knee surgery.
So they get a cortisone shot.
They get the cortisone shot.
And what does that do?
That's a shot to try to calm down the inflammation.
Okay.
And if you go through the cortisone shots, and then hopefully you should have someone coming to physical therapy, because we know that with those knees, they're going to have decreased range of motion. So they're not going to be able to bend their knee quite as far. They're not going to be able to straighten out their knee quite as far. And what that leads to is that leads to more pain, because now you're probably not walking the way that you should.
Oh.
And so we'll really work on that range of motion, and then doing all the strengthening we just talked about, hips, and then quadriceps, that big muscle in your thigh, will really make sure that that's as strong as possible. And then hopefully we can avoid that total knee surgery, but you're probably pre-surgery at that point where it's going to be down the line where you're going to need a total knee.
People talked about the term total knee. Can you get partial knee?
Yeah, that's a great question. I know that the studies right now are a little mixed on whether to do a total knee and a partial knee. And if there's any orthopedic surgeon that's listening to me right now, I don't want to have my words mixed up, but I know that there's some orthopedic surgeons that stay away from the partial knee, because what can happen is the other compartments. So there's two compartments in your knee, the inside and the outside. And I know that there's some studies that show that if you replace just one of those compartments, so maybe the outside compartment, the medial or the inside compartment will wear out, and then that patient may need a total knee.
It's kind of like putting a Band-Aid on it almost.
Yeah, but there has been some studies that also show that people really respond well to that.
Okay.
They recover really quickly from the unilateral, we call it like a unilateral knee or a partial total knee. And that patient will respond quickly to that. So there are some surgeons that they still like to do that surgery. And then I've heard from other surgeons that don't want to go that route, and they say, let's just replace the whole thing. Let's just do it right now. The shelf life for a total knee is typically around 20 years at this point.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and there's a lot of people that do revisions too to replace some of the components of the total knee, and I've had a lot of patients do really well. So
everybody I know that has had knee surgery has been happy in the long run because they were in such pain. So how long does it take for them, once they have surgery and they come to you, to really get back to where they're happy they had the surgery?
Most people, when they come to me that first week,
they are not happy. Yeah, for sure.
It takes a while. So I would say for most people, it's around 8 to 12 weeks where they finally are starting to, that's a long time.
Yeah,
so,
for sure.
You know, one of the things that I have to do that first visit when they're in significant amount of pain, they're having a really hard time walking with a walker.
You're trying to work them and they're...
I have to kind of give them some reassurance saying, this is going to get better. It will get better. This is just, you are in the thick of it right now. This is a hard time of your recovery. Yeah, that 8 to 12 weeks is typically kind of that time frame where people are finally saying, oh, okay, all right, this is worth it. I'm back to walking. I don't have the pain that I had prior to the surgery. I'm able to finally do some of the things that I love to do prior to the surgery. For rehab, I give the estimation about 6 to 12 weeks after a total knee. And that just depends on the patient's goals, too. Some people just want to be able to get back to walking 100 feet. And some people want to get back to the point where they're doing really big hikes and walking 5 miles and doing intense workouts.
And all of those are achievable, you're saying?
Absolutely.
Yep. That's great.
And I've worked with all the patients in between that.
Oh, it's awesome. Mm-hmm. Caitlin, aren't you so excited?
Yes,
to just get into this wonderful field and make a difference in people's lives.
Absolutely. I can't wait.
Anything else you want to tell us, Aaron, about our knees?
Take care of them.
But yeah. I mean, how do you do that?
I think the biggest thing is strength training. Caitlin and I just sat in on a lecture this morning that was provided by Alina. They do a lecture series every so often. So we're always doing continuing education. And it was a great course on just the importance of doing resistance training throughout your life. And so I think people probably, for the most part, and this is what I experience too when I'm talking to people when I meet them for the first time, they're underdosing their exercise, meaning they're not pushing their body hard enough. They're not doing enough resistance training. We should really be doing this throughout our entire life. And so I think the misconception is that when you get to a certain age, you don't have to be doing resistance training or walking is just enough. And, you know, walking is a great mode of exercise. It's excellent. I'm not downplaying that at all. But when I talk to patients, I always talk about different buckets of exercise. You have to have the right range of motion to be able to do a certain task, to get in and out of the car, to walk, whatever it is going to be. You have to have the right cardiovascular strength, right? So walking is great for that. Walking or biking or, you know, whatever mode, being on the elliptical, running, whatever mode of exercise that's going to get your heart rate up, that's extremely important. But the one that's probably overlooked the most is resistance training and continuing to weight train in a safe manner. And there's definitely ways that we can modify how we weightlift as we get older that's safe and that's stressing the muscles, the joints, the ligaments, the tendons adequately so that you can continue to maintain or build strength as you get older. And so I think that would be probably the biggest thing that you can do to prevent a lot of injuries.
It's great advice. And again, people can just come to be proactive and come to therapy, right?
Yeah. Yeah. So the biggest thing that I get from people is they'll come to me and they'll say, I've been having this pain for a year. It just continues to get worse and worse and worse. And it's always the best from a physical therapy standpoint is that if we see you right away after that injury or after you're starting to feel pain, if we can get that pain controlled within the first few weeks or months, that's a lot better than having you go through it for a year or 2 years. Because now you're probably deconditioned after that, probably not as active as usual. We see this a lot with knees is people will gradually reduce how much activity they're doing for an entire year or 2 years. And now not only their knees suffered from not being as active, but also the rest of their body too.
Great advice. So people can just call Courage Kinney?
Absolutely. So in the state of Minnesota, we have direct access. So we have direct access for 90 days. Most insurances will cover that. We have for most government payers, so like Medicare, we require an order. So an order from whoever your primary provider is, whether that's a doctor or a chiropractor or a physician's assistant or a nurse practitioner, all of that suffices for an order.
Great information. Thank you both for coming in today. Our guests are Aaron Wickbolt. He is the supervisor of rehab at Courage Kinney Hastings, and he was joined today by Caitlin Byerly, who is studying to become a full-fledged physical therapist. She's an intern currently at Courage Kinney of Hastings, and we so appreciate both of their time. And you are listening to another edition of Community in Depth on AM 1460 and FM 97.7 KDWA in Hastings.